Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Thursday night, March 6th. My God, March already. Jesus, this year's already flying by. You are listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the ChairShot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com, where we remind you and encourage you to always use your heads. I am the man with the award-winning and holy beard coming at you from the pod cave. I am DJ. Going to go around the room and introduce this cast of characters like I do each and every week. Starting with the resident high flyer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. He hails from the Purple Haze and Cloud Nine. Bucky's tag team partner, a man destined to go through a barbershop window. Jason, sir, how's your Thursday?
I've gone this long and I've never added a nickname, an intro thing, or whatever. Rob's goes so long, we almost, you have to edit it. And,
but I slowly had,
I understand.
The resident high flyer is relatively new. Well, the resident high flyer thing is relatively new. I've only been doing that for about 6 months.
Is it? Okay. All right. Well, I'll come up,
this is my homework for next week. I'm going to find something to add to Jason's tagline. Cool.
Well, regardless, I'm wonderful. We had a great Elimination Chamber with an ending that I did not think we would see in this timeline, but we did. So,
we are going to break all that down tonight, but before we do, I want to introduce the host of the Rob the Genius Podcast. He is the Minister of Truth, the Father of Facts and Figures, the Deacon of Data. He is the official shoot bearer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, the King of the Power Nap, Ray Cash's daddy, and the man with the golden shovel, Mr. Rob, sir, how are you?
Well, okay. The office chair got to me earlier today and didn't put me to sleep, but it reminded me that how much I hated office chairs after so many years. See, folks, when you turn 50, when you get past 40, office chairs are not your friend.
No, they're not.
Yeah, well, they want to be a little bit too much of your friend, you know?
And,
I end up falling asleep in them.
Oh, I don't. I don't fall asleep because mine just they feel like they're taking a meat cleaver to my lower back So
apparently, I got the right office chair, I guess.
Well, I hadn't. We hadn't been in the office in a while. Just except for once a day or once a week for a while. But now we're back in the office full time. And so I gotta get used to sitting in an office chair every day. Mm. And again. So now, I'm on kind of day four of that, and it finally hit me around lunchtime. I went to stand up and I was like, oh, okay, yeah. All right.
I'd almost kill for an office chair, man. I've got these. I work in healthcare, and we have pretty much just these little rolling stools, and they are murder on the hips and backs, man. Especially, again, like Rob said, when you're a man or woman of a certain age, you don't bounce back like you used to with these things. Jason, you're creeping up on it, man.
Yeah.
Oh, look, dude, I've got two metal rods in my back. I'm well ahead of that.
That's right. I forget about that. You have the bionic back.
That's why when you guys were talking about it, you're like, oh, I got to go get something. I got to go get a massage. I got to go get this. I was like, yeah, I really should go get adjusted soon, shouldn't I? I'm just so used to walking around like clonk, clonk, clonk.
Man, yeah. So, now I'm feeling better now that I've walked around, not sitting in that chair. I mean, I feel better now, but, at one point this afternoon, I had to sit on the floor on my back up against the wall just to,
right.
You know, to not get, you know, to not have that office chair, you know, feeling. And,
Well, you know what that feels worse than that? An Elimination Chamber match.
Yes, absolutely. We didn't come here to talk to you about our old man aches and pains. This is a wrestling podcast. We're going to talk some wrestling tonight because we were fed this weekend. My God, Elimination Chamber came to us, and I'm going to, as customary with this show, let Jason take over this portion. Jason has the card pulled up. Sir, the floor is yours.
So we kicked off the show with a bang because the women's match, the women's Elimination Chamber opened the show with Bianca Belair, Alexa Bliss, Bayley, Liv Morgan, Naomi, and Roxanne Perez all made their way to the ring. And then Jade Cargo came out and she proceeded to beat the ever loving bag out of Naomi. We all thought she was going for Liv, but she went for Naomi. And then, you know, Bianca freaks out and what are you doing? Why could you do this? Blah, 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 blah. And then the match gets started and it's an absolute car crash of a match, which, you know, we expected with these participants. And Bianca Belair ended up winning and will face, for the moment, Women's World Champion Io Sky at WrestleMania 41. So I had a rocking good time. Jade looked, I can't believe Jade. New gear, glammed up, hit the music, did everything just to beat the bag out of somebody and leave. I love it. We haven't seen her in months and, you know, or a month or whatever. So it was a hoot. Rob?
So yeah, that part was, and then that, you know, that was like huge. And then like everyone else in the match, you had these reaction faces like, oh my God, what's going on here? And also look, that was one of the best thorough beatings anyone has dished out. I mean,
oh, that was a damn near shoot murder.
I mean, it looked very real, and you know, all credit to Naomi because somebody has to, you know, the other person has to stand in there and take it, right? And
yeah,
and that, you know, and that includes, you know, all it takes is for one of those punches to go a little too fast for something, you know. So you are taking a risk when you stand in there and take that beating. And, you know, and then also, you know, getting her head slammed in the door and, you know, and all of that. So yeah, she stood in there and she took a good and thorough, real looking ass kicking. And so credit to both of them for that. And yeah, you know, so now we still have an open question as to what exactly, you know, to what degree is Bianca involved or not involved in all of this. Cause you know, she's acting a little shady, you know, since, but we won't know, I guess we won't know until Jay interacts with her. Right. But from there, I mean, you know, the match was great. Although I'm turning into Mr. Mad Guy with all these multi-person matches now. And I that's my fault. That's me. You know, I read the patterns and stuff too easy now. So, you know, I see when somebody's laying on the side of the, you know, ring or whatever, cause it's their turn to not be in there, to be in the action and all of that. So that's my fault. That's on me. It's just so I don't, you know, I acknowledge that they all did a great job, but I guess these kind of matches just, they aren't working for me like they used to. Cause I pick up too much stuff now, you know.
Pattern recognition is a hell of a burden in more choreographed matches, and these just are by their nature.
Yeah, and then I guess the other thing is they did the thing again where they waited too long. They went a long time where nobody got eliminated. Then they eliminated everybody in the last 10 minutes. And, you know, that's that's, you know, we mentioned that before with some of these matches that happen sometimes. And so you end up with a long stretch where, like, I won't say nothing happened, but you have a long stretch where not as much is going on. And then you get to those last few minutes and then, like, everything happens. And, you know, I mean, it can kind of make it, it can make things kind of disjointed, you know? I mean, but the part where everything was going on was excellent. So
this match really was about two stories. It was about the very beginning and the very end. And it's all linked to the same story. What happened in between, there was some really good action. I can't disagree with, you know, either Rob or Jason's assessment of these get a little formulaic, but the formula notwithstanding, I thought the women delivered. I thought everybody looked good in their spots. I thought everybody did. And kudos to Jade. And we have been supportive of Jade since the day she stepped foot in WWE. We have been, I don't want to use the word critical, but we have been very observant of her limitations in ring. And I really hope that that's the last piece of the puzzle that she's put together, because she gets everything else. She's got the look. She gets the mannerisms. She gets the letting a moment breathe. She just gets all the little details that make this stuff work. If she can put the ring stuff together, man, we are in for one hell of a ride over the next few months as this story between Jade, Bianca, and Naomi unfolds, and we find out what, if any, involvement Bianca has in all this, what her part is, how much Naomi knew, how much Naomi actually was involved, or whether or not Naomi's just a patsy for Bianca. It's so many layers, and I'm so excited to see where they go with this, because we've been, one area where we've been critical of WWE and Triple H's booking is with the women, you know, and a lot of times with these multi-women big matches, like a Rumble, like an Elimination Chamber, like a Money in the Bank match, it's almost like they just throw a bunch of women out there and there's no cohesion to the story. This was a cohesive story. Not only amongst the three of them, but you've got Bayley and you've got Roxanne who are in there. Liv is intertwined with everybody by default. She was peripherally linked to the Jade Cargill storyline. So just very, very good storytelling going on in this match. Like I said, I won't dispute or debate the formulaic way it was laid out, but the storytelling on display was, for me, chef's kiss.
And then we gotta give them credit for that. Cause again, we have been plenty critical of just kind of the very kind of what we considered basic kind of bland nature of the women's creative stuff. So, you know, all the credit in the world for them pulling that all together here in this match tonight. I mean, not tonight, but Saturday.
Right.
And hey, we could be in for a swerve here, because how Jade was laid out, you could do a scenario where she never actually got a good look at the person who tossed her. And maybe it was Bianca wearing Naomi's big furry coat. I don't know. Could be interesting. So I'm sure there's going to be a few more shoes to drop with that. Whodunit.
They're not done there.
Yeah.
No. I don't think it's just, yeah, Naomi did it and Jade's going to get her. We're not done. So, next up we had the kind of, if there was a filler match of the night, it was this one, but I had a good time. Tiffany Stratton and Trish Stratus defeated Nia Jax and Candice LeRae in a tag team match. Everybody got their stuff in, and this furthers the story with, Tiffany and Nia. So awesome. Rob?
Matt. There were a lot of people, I saw people kind of dumping on this match. Not in just for it even existing. And I don't know. I think this is where these shorter cards can kind of hurt things, because if this was like a 7-match card, then this match would have been a pick me up match. This match would have come after like the 6th or 7th most important match was on the card. This match,
whatever the death slot match was, this was the match after that.
This would have come after it to pick the crowd back up.
Yeah.
But instead, it ends up being the death slot match because you have two chamber matches and then you have the murder, death, kill match, So this ends up being the death slot match, and very similar to what was said about the tag team title match at the Rumble, there are people also saying like, well, why did you even bother? I thought it was fine. It was a cute hometown pop, hometown hero tag team, wacky tag team match, and it was fine. But
sometimes it doesn't have to be more than that, man.
Yeah, exactly. I think to me this is an argument for adding. No, you don't need to go back to having 9 or 10 matches on these shows, but I think this and the tag team match at the Rumble, these are kind of arguments, I think, for maybe having 5 or 6 matches instead of 4, because, it does kind of feel, I thought people were overreacting a bit much by dumping on it so much, but at the same time, it is kind of like, this should have been like, this is a mid-card match. It should have been a mid-card match. And instead, because there were no underneath matches,
technically it was.
Well, yeah, in the literal definition, it was in the middle of the card. it's kind of unfortunate that when you don't have any underneath matches, that something like this, which is, again, it was a perfectly fine way to spend 10 minutes on a wrestling show. It ends up, some people end up just kind of dumping on it. To me, that wasn't
I won't dump people, on this match.
People are viewing it through the lens of, we got Ladder Apocalypse 7 and two chamber matches on this card. So this is just kind of like, a lot of people, and it's a women's match. So Rob, if you're talking about the online wrestling community reacting that way, I'd tell you, because it's a women's match they don't have to care about or pretend to care about, so then they can be jerks about it.
And that's
so, but all in all, no offense occurred, guys. We had a perfectly great tag team match.
Yeah, and it gets Trish reintroduced to the road to WrestleMania. It looks like, and hopefully Trish will have a match with someone at WrestleMania this year. It gets her out there and gets people, Trish Stratus, and let's do this. And, probably a bucket list thing for Tiffany Stratton. I got to team with Trish Stratus and Candice LeRae and Nia Jax on the other side. I got to be in a wrestling match with Trish Stratus. These are all things that I think we forget about because we've talked about this on this show. Trish's graduating class, the Litas, the Ivories, and all the Molly Hollies, we're all at a time where they weren't getting these big spots on these pay-per-view/premium live events and on TV and things like that. So the fact that we can still get Trish out here during a time when women are being given more to do is amazing. And for her to pass some of that down to the next generation of women, I'm okay with it. I thought the match was fun. I think it was predictable. It ended. I think we all called for Trish and Tiffany to win, which is what happened. And that's perfectly okay to paint by the numbers sometimes. And that's what they did here. And I had fun with it. This did not drag the card down at all for me.
No, and I think, this is a fan. This is an IWC fan.
Yes. Problem. Yes.
DJ, spinning off what you're saying, in that time, if Trish Stratus was in a tag team match that went 10 minutes, that was probably the only women's wrestling that week.
Yeah.
Like, if you go back in time. So just relax, everybody.
And just on a broader scale, look, again, the final frontier for progress in women's wrestling is, age and longevity and coming back for these kind of paydays. And, like Mick Foley and Ric Flair and The Undertaker and Batista and, and all these other guys have for years been coming back for one-off matches for a check and well into their 50s. Okay. I mean, you know, Jerry Lawler, when there was a time whenever they were in Memphis on Monday Night Raw, Jerry Lawler would have an impromptu match at, you know, 55, 60 years old. Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, and nobody complained. Everybody was like, oh, Jerry, one more time. Yay. Or, oh,
we watched Taker's match with Roman. We all thought that was it. And then Taker had like, what, four more?
Yeah. I mean, and so, you know, these men have been coming back for years and years and years and doing these one-off matches and into their 50s and 60s, you know, and so it's progress for Trish and to come back and do these. And, you know, there'll come a point where, you know, Becky and Charlotte maybe want to come back and do a one-off, or there'll come a day when Rhea Ripley will be coming back to do a one-off. Okay. So, you know, and they should be able to, okay?
Yeah.
This is what you should, if you're serious about those people who are serious, who claim to be serious about progress for women in professional wrestling, this is part of that, okay? This is part of that, is being able to come back and get these paychecks, okay? The same way that the men do. And,
yeah.
You know, so
I had fun with it.
Yeah, it was perfectly good way to spend 10 minutes on a wrestling show. And I know I'm rambling here, but I needed to get that out there.
Yeah, no, that's perfectly fine.
No worries.
I am getting word before we go into the next match, we may have a run in here just shortly. Just a little teaser there. Jason, you can continue.
All right. Well, this is the perfect time if it's who I think it is. Because the next match was just nothing but violent nonsense. Because of course it was the unsanctioned match between Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. And yeah, what can I say? But it delivered. They beat the shit out of each other, and anything that wasn't bolted down became a weapon, or someone was going through it. So yeah, holy crap. Those guys, if the real bump card thing exists, then those guys just ran up a tab. So, and Kevin ended up winning. So, we kind of called that, well, we theorized an angle where that would happen. So, yeah, we talk about being fed, DJ. What did you think of this
absolute
apocalypse of wrestling?
Crazy good. I always love when Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn lock up. They were just wrestling soulmates, I think is what I called them. And I think you have that when you're best friends with each other and you grow up in an industry. You have that trust and you have that understanding that, hey, this is what we're going to do. And, you know, we're going to trust each other to get each other there. And they did. And they told such a good story. And folks, we do have a run in fresh off the DWI podcast. And he's got the echo. Echo, whoa, whoa, whoa. He is Point of Contact Tunney.
I'm sorry, I forgot about the echo.
What's going on, buddy?
I'm just here ruining your show, apparently. No, thanks for coming on. Rob, good to see you. Jason, it's been a while, my friend. Always good to see all you guys. Love this show. How's it going?
We're good here. We are about 2/3 to 3/4 of the way through the Elimination Chamber. We're talking about the car crash that was Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. And I was just giving my thoughts on that. We'll pick your brain on that in a minute. I know you and Dave probably talked about it on DWI. I love these two together. And like I was saying, when you're friends in the business and you grow up in the business together, you build that trust. And these guys unequivocally trust each other with everything they're doing in the ring. And it was just great chef's kiss storytelling again.
So, Rob?
Okay, so I feel like it's a little bit of a hypocrite here because as much as we rip on these kind of matches, normally when they happen elsewhere, I was watching this one, I was like, you know what? It's okay when they do it.
Well, no, you have to earn it. Like, like Sammy Guevara and some dude locking up for the first time in, like, you know, 2 years or whatever, and they've never had a real rivalry on a random Wednesday, and they go 20 minutes and kick out of everything and blah, blah, blah. That doesn't make any fucking sense. Meanwhile, the Joker and Batman, yeah, they're going to go 30 minutes and try to kill each other.
Oh, well, yeah. And so, I mean, they did everything, though, man. And, like, I did not think they would even get, I didn't think they would get that close to the, again, to the stuff they did in Ring of Honor, but this was really damn close. It's probably the closest you could get without actually, you know, without copying it exactly. I mean, man, I was just, yeah, like I was just flinching a lot just at, because man, they did, again, they did it, man. And then the barbed wire chair.
Oh. And my understanding is that that chair wasn't gimmicked.
Oh, probably not. Kevin's a crazy man. And yeah, I'm sure he wanted the full effect. Man, yeah, it was, brother. I mean, again, I did not think we would get this kind of thing here. Cause this was right up there with all those, some of that, again, with what they did in Ring of Honor and with some of the other stuff.
It stacks up. It stacks up with it.
Those, you know, the fights without honor and the, you know, fight without honor and the ladder war stuff that they do in Ring of Honor a lot of times. This was right up there with all that stuff, man. And yeah. I mean, the Kevin Owens is insane. He is an insane, crazy man. I mean, he's probably he's today's Mick Foley, I think, you know, just the extent to which he will go to do God knows what.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, so this match was insane, man. It was for all, in all the good ways.
Awesome. Mr. Funny, do you have anything to say about the Ladder Apocalypse 9?
Pizza Funny here. No, I think Rob hit it on the head there with KO. Like, I never really thought about it like that. And I own all of Mick Foley's books, and he's one of my favorite wrestlers ever. But the similarity between them two is not just in the hardcore. It's the fact that when they're baby faces, they're happy-go-lucky and they're fun, and they have these really cool, fun, weird promos and that accentuate their fun personality. But when they're heels, they're dark and dig deep into that realm.
Yeah, I clenched several times throughout that entire match. So hats off to everybody.
This match had a pucker factor of about 8.5.
Yeah, it was pretty pretty up there. All right, so last up, we had the the Elimination Chamber match, where John Cena defeated CM Punk, Damian Priest, Drew McIntyre, Logan Paul, and Seth freaking Rollins. And yeah, I think as we all predicted, John Cena is going to challenge for his 17th world title at WrestleMania against Cody Rhodes. And then Cody Rhodes came out and they shook hands and wow, that's going to be WrestleMania, right?
Yep.
No, because we all live in
that's where everybody's predictions stopped.
Yeah, because we live in reality. That was the timeline we all thought we were going to be in. No, this was the timeline where The Rock wants Cody's soul. Cody just absolutely just, man, if that's going to be the first F-bomb on WWE television, we whiffed it, guys. I'm sorry. But anyway, he told The Rock to go fuck himself. And John Cena said, that's cool, and shook his hand, and then kicked him in the nuts. And then beat the ever-loving dog shit out of Cody Rhodes, including two whacks with the title that I'm pretty sure, because we all know Cody's a sicko, so I'm sure he looked at John and said, John, when you do this, I want you to put my brain in the first row. Do you understand? And then John Cena went, got it, kid, and proceeded to do exactly that and try to put Cody Rhodes' brain into the front row. It was awesome. So John Cena is a full-blown heel allied with The Rock. Mr. Guest of the show, Pizza Funny, what do we think about heel John Cena?
I thought the execution was great. I think that you can't just do this. I think there's huge conversation whether Rock and Hunter pitched it to John or John came in wanting to do it. you know, there's all this stuff that has led to this. I thought it was well executed, in my opinion. I think the bigger thing about laying into Cody is Travis Scott. Holy shit.
Oh, man, did he tater him or what?
Somebody
needs to tell Travis it's a work.
Or somebody told Travis, you don't know how to punch yet, just fucking punch him so it fucking works. Yeah. But it was great. It's going to be the moment of the year, no doubt. Like, it's so huge. I thought it was well executed. I enjoyed all of it. I don't know what we're going to get from here, and I like that.
All right.
Yeah, I personally think we're on a weird for the first time in a long time, we are on a clearer path than we've ever been. Yep, Title 17 is going to happen. So that's just my opinion. What does everybody think about that? First instinct, is John Cena going to win at WrestleMania? Rob?
You got to. I mean, you can't do all this and then have him get beat.
I agree. DJ?
I agree. Yeah, John Cena's winning 17 at WrestleMania.
As a heel. Hot damn. Well, that brings us to the end of Elimination Chamber.
He skipped. Tony got interviewed. You and I got skipped over.
I'm too shocked. I'm too bum-puzzled. I'm too, I can't even process this.
Jason spent the entirety of Black History Month. Spent the entirety of Black History Month skipping over Rob every time we did one of these. And now it's just carried over into February.
I satisfied Jason. He didn't need Rob.
It's true. He gave a perfectly great opinion. But I guess...
I tell you what, since you skipped over me and Rob, let me take back over here real quick and let's throw something around here because I don't think we really analyzed this deeply on the DWI. A lot of people comparing this heel turn to Hogan's heel turn with the NWO 30 years ago at this point. Let's compare the two. And in terms of their importance, Rob, I'll start with you. More important, less important, or just as important in different ways?
Well, we won't know for sure until about 6 months, but I will say that they serve similar purposes. Okay. Cause when Hogan did the NWO thing, that literally revived the wrestling business.
Yes. Okay.
So the wrestling business does not need a revival. It did not it was not in need of a revival right now. However, me being the numbers guy, I can tell you things were starting to cool off. Okay. They were not like, oh no, everybody's in danger, but kitty. All right. And, but things were definitely cooling off. And so they needed another card to play. And look, every year or year and a half, you need to pull another ace out of the deck and play it to keep the momentum going. It just, nothing lasts forever. No matter how good your people are, no matter how good stuff you're writing, eventually it's going to cool off because it just does. Okay.
Yeah.
And we were kind of getting to that point where again, not that they were doing anything bad per se, but things were definitely starting to cool off. They needed to pull another big card out of the deck to play. This was the time to do it. And they played it and it was the exact right time to do it. And again, they executed everything that night. And, some of that stuff, some of Rock's promos the past couple of weeks were sounding kind of weird, but I think, I think they cleaned up everything nicely at the pay-per-view.
Right? Yeah.
And it's just, look, I think that's where we are with Dwayne. Dwayne, he's far enough removed from all of this where he doesn't just automatically come back to him and he starts rambling out there now, but we got to get through his part and then, we clean it up and then we go. Right. And that's that happened last year. That happened, here at the chamber. So now, okay, fine. We got through the weird part and now we're on the road and we can go now.
So, Tony, let's get your thoughts on that, how the Cena heel turn stacks up to the Hogan heel turn. Cause I know you had put something out there on Twitter
I think earlier today or late yesterday or something. Go ahead with your thoughts.
It's funny. You hung out with us for a little bit and we came back around to that. And somebody, I was talking with Jeremy on Twitter, follow, you can check my feed. You follow him. He's a great follow. He's got way more followers than I, tweets way more than I do. He's a really fun follow, really fun guy, like a guy you can have an argument with and he's not going to get mad. And we're all looking for those kind of people that we can interact with on social media. Right. But I agree with what Rob was saying. Like, John Cena's been bringing Brock back on his promo since he was writing him on his arm.
Yeah.
But I can't complain about anything is really the bottom line. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mentioned on, and I'm going to come to Jason. I mentioned on the DWI, this has less to do with John Cena and more to do with Cody Rhodes. They really, because we don't know what Roman's health status is. Roman at this point is almost on the Undertaker contract. They need a face of the company. And as Rob was saying, things have cooled off a little bit. Cody's not there at that Roman level. They've got to pull out everything they can. Who better to do this with than John Cena, The Rock, and potentially Stone Cold Steve Austin, as Tunney brought up on the DWI. So, Jason, that being said, I'm going to kick it over to you and get your thoughts on this.
Yeah, I mean, Rob kind of stole my thunder. You have to see how it really plays out in terms of comparing it and its importance to Hogan, because, like Rob said, he literally revived the wrestling business, and the NWO is something that will stand the test of time. So, like, yeah, that's going to be tough. But as far as, like, never thought we'd see it, yeah, I'd say it's been, I think at this point it was totally off the table. If they were going to do it, we would have done it already. So the fact that, you know, they're doing it on the road to WrestleMania, and wow, on his retirement tour, he's basically going to probably spend the 95% of it as a heel, if not 100%. That's, yeah, so the shocking, so they're almost equal in like shock value in terms of never thought you'd see it.
Right. Go ahead, Tony. You got a thought, then I've got one.
So the conversation I had with Jeremy, and that's why I kind of briefly ended where I was talking before, because I was trying to find it on social media. I did now. And he said, here is the biggest difference in Hogan seeing a heel turn. Hogan turn was like, holy shit. Cena turn was like, it's about fucking time. And I replied, I feel it's the other way around. Hogan was already getting booed, and the majority of us, and Jason just pointed all of this out beautifully, thought Cena, why would we put a timetable on a Cena heel turn, right? Like,
yeah.
I disagree. What do you guys think about that?
You know what? We talked a little bit about that on DWI, and I think I pointed it out. We talked last week when we were giving our predictions. We thought John Cena would win the chamber and lose to Cody at WrestleMania, furthering his madness in the chase for 17. I think what we've got now is actually better storytelling. I think a heel Cena winning and just obliterating Cody at WrestleMania now – we've got a feud for the summer doldrums. You know, after WrestleMania, things cool off considerably, and there's not much going on. And we've historically, for as long as this has been a podcast, called it the summer doldrums. And the last couple of years, we haven't really had the summer doldrums. You know, they found something to keep us interested, and I think this is our thing. And I think it leads to an ultimately a John Cena redemption, as Dave pointed out. But, yeah, I think this is much better storytelling than John Cena going in as a babyface into WrestleMania and losing.
All right.
So, as far as the, like, waiting so long to do it, okay, with these, like, super babyface type of people, you need to wait. Because, I mean... Now, I mean, kind of people were calling for this back in 2010 and 2012 and 2013 and 2014. I mean, did you really want John Cena to turn on Sheamus in 2012?
Yeah, what does that mean in the grand scheme of wrestling?
Did we really want that? Did we really want that? Just so he could say he did it?
Banger after banger after banger. But,
and that's not I'm not knocking on what or Christian or you know or somebody else. Somebody else who was a babyface in 2012. Did we really want John Cena turning on them that back then? Did we really want that?
No, there's no money in that bag.
Did we didn't really want that. Nobody really wanted that. I mean, I know, yes, there are people who say, they didn't turn him heel. And I'm sorry, that was your own fault because you were 30 years old and you were still watching pro wrestling and you didn't take a break like a lot of us did. Okay. You should have stopped. Okay. You should have done something else for a little while. Okay. But you were 30 years old and you were still watching the same guy that when you were a teenager and you were tired of it and you wanted him to turn him heel because you were tired of him being a good guy.
That's the magic cure, Rob, for everybody. You don't like him anymore. Turn him heel.
The magic cure is when you do what most wrestling fans do after a while when you've been doing it for about 7 or 8 years. You find something else to do for a while, and then maybe you come back to it, maybe you don't. Okay?
That really is the magic formula to enjoying this shit, is to take a break every 5 to 10 years. Just take a break.
I mean, like, yeah, when your favorite people start retiring or whatever, or not doing the things you used to like them, that you want to see them do, you take a break, and then maybe you come back later. And now, the best thing about now is, you can all the stuff that you did like, you can watch it all now. Okay? And you know, in 1993, if you were longing for, you know, the 1986 Hulkamania, it was a lot harder to actually watch some of that, okay? Now, if you want to watch if you long for the Attitude Era, you can watch every damn episode of Raw of Stone Cold Steve Austin beating up Vince McMahon you want to, okay? If you were longing for when the Shield was beating everybody up, you can go and watch all of that right now if you want to. Okay, you don't have to, you know, sit there and pout and like, oh, why can't they just turn them? Why can't they do something else with them now? You know, which is, I mean, again, if they had turned John Cena heel in 2012, it would have been completely wasted, and this right here, what we're getting now, wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well,
speaking of the Shield, did the Buckler show up on NXT? I was flipping back and forth with the NBA.
Oh, then I haven't seen those guys since the takeover thing.
Sure.
But and one last point. This same rule also applies to Cody. Okay, because you know, when's Cody gonna turn? When are we gonna get Homelander? When the time is right, you morons. Okay.
What did I say on the DWI podcast, honey? Timing is everything.
Yes.
What if we get a double turn, but it takes time? What if John turns face because Cody turns heel at SummerSlam?
You mean like a Bret Austin type of thing? That would be pretty slick.
Sure. And that would be slick. And the whole key, like with Austin and Bret, you do it at the timing matters, okay?
Yeah.
Because they turned because people were starting to get tired of Brett. Because Brett was coming off as more and more of like whiny and everything, and people were starting to not be happy with that. And Austin was getting hot, so it made perfect sense to do the double turn there. Okay. With certain people, like there's so much investment in them as a babyface that you have to do it at the right time or else it is completely wasted. Like when they turned Goldberg in WCW, that was completely wasted.
That was stupid.
It was stupid and it was wasted. And then they ended up flipping him back a few weeks later anyway, because it was dumb. All right. And so timing matters. And so think about that with Cody. Because, you know, we'll get Homelander when it's time. Okay. We don't need it. We don't need it. We didn't need it right now. Okay. Wait for it to be time or else you waste it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm done with it.
Okay. All right. All right. I'll go once around the horn here. Look, go ahead, Jason. I'm sorry.
Rob, I'll even help you out, dude. I'll even help Rob out. He's still selling boatloads of t-shirts to kids. Like, that's one, I firmly believe that's one of the reasons that you people booed Roman out of like 12 WrestleManias and they just kept on trucking. because while you guys were booing, they couldn't keep the t-shirts on the show. Like, and they're going to run into that with Cody. So, and yeah, stay the course, man. Stay the course until the wheels come off, or you have a really good time where your actor can, you know, flex his muscles.
As the story dictates.
Yeah, exactly. Other than that, don't rush this thing. You're cooking with that dude.
Yeah. All right. Well, that'll do it for Elimination Chamber. I'm going to go around the horn here. WrestleMania, we are officially on the road now. If there was any question 7 days ago, those questions have all evaporated. We are firmly on the road. Jason, I'll start with you. Your excitement level.
I still got to know what Roman's doing, so we're in six.
That's a discussion that we should probably start having next week, because Roman has yet to have anything announced, and we are now, what, 40-some-odd, 50 days away from WrestleMania? So maybe yeah. That's a discussion we need to have next week. Tony, road to WrestleMania. Excitement levels as of today, March 6th, 2027, or 2025.
Four out of three.
Four out of three, okay.
I'm up there. I'm up there. No, that was a bad joke. I think we're getting a triple threat between – thanks, Rob. I appreciate your laughing. I think we get the triple threat of WrestleMania is Punk and Rollins and Roman, and that's where the favorite gets cashed in. That makes the most sense. Maybe number one contendership is in there, but yeah.
Okay. Robert?
I'm kind of where Jason is right now. I'm waiting to see what happens with Roman. And that's the biggest thing, because I want to see what exactly is Roman doing. And I'm also curious as to what's going to, how things are going to unfold with Jacob and Solo. Because they're getting real close to Jacob deciding, you know what, this guy.
I don't love you no more, Solo.
This guy,
I love you, Solo.
No, I hate you, Solo.
There you go. Man, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. They've got me hooked in on They've got me hooked in on so many levels, man, between Charlotte and Tiffany, whatever's going on with Punk, Jay and Gunther. This WrestleMania is going to be off the chain. I'm really, really looking forward to it. So unless anybody has anything else, I think we're going to get out of here a little bit early, and I want to thank PC Tunney for coming by and joining us here for a little bit tonight. All right. Before we get out of here, I want to invite you to go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. From there, you can look at, browse, peruse, if you will, all the chair shirt option or all the t-shirt options available from your favorite Chair Shot Radio Network podcast. Rob, stop laughing at me, including the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. I know I fucked it up. Pick one up. The starving artist on these shows will thank you. Your body will thank you. If you pick one up in soft style for a couple dollars more, that is prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot.
It doesn't matter, DJ. You guys have a t-shirt and I don't, so you win.
You don't? Okay. Now we just got to sell a couple.
Oh, no, you don't.
I thought DWI had a shirt up there.
No. We're playing the long game.
Okay. So you're going to have long sleeve shirts is what you're saying. I just threw that out there. Anyway, we will go back around the horn. Thank everyone. Starting with the host of the DWI podcast again, PC Tunney. Sir, thank you for coming out.
Follow these guys right here, Jason, Rob, and DJ at the Mindless Pod and everything they got going on at Jedi Fed, at Arbonny1. Like, I know you guys' handles. These guys are great.
These guys are good.
I don't really run in on any other show. I just enjoy seeing you guys. DJ and I are sluts. Rob and I are fantasy football, everything kind of sluts there too. And Jason, no one matches my energy like you do, brother. I always love podcasting with you. So thank you guys for having me. I'm excited. It's WrestleMania season. Listen to everything Chair Shot Radio Network on all your favorite streaming platforms. Don't worry about me.
And Jason, sir. Thank you. Good show tonight. Nice short show. We kept
awesome show. Thank you very much, PC, Mr. Pizza. You always bring a shining light to this podcast, and we're always happy to have you.
And the host of the Rob the Genius podcast, Mr. Rob, sir, another fun show tonight.
It's always a pleasure, and hopefully next week I'll have gotten accustomed to the office chairs again, and my back won't feel like shit. Yeah.
You're out of office shape, my friend. And again, from the Pod Cave, I am one of the hosts, the man with the award-winning and holy beard. You have been listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Remember, you can call it pro wrestling, you can call it sports entertainment, you can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring, and we're out of here till next week.